Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:44, and that's Pacific Standard Time. Well, this being one day in 4 years, not a great deal that was highly remarkable in here today, other than the fact that the Chinese disappointed markets by just how tame their support for the stock market was. They cut the reserve requirements for banks, but there's nothing new there. They've been doing that for a while. Whereas what the market was probably looking for was some pretty substantive support. So the A shares were down about 1%, and they're really right on their lows, and a clear upper dynamic tomorrow will be required to really indicate that support is anything other than transitory in this area. Well, Hong Kong also was weaker in here today. The Hang Seng was down 1.3%, and the Nikkei was down 1%. Well, part of the reason for that is because the yen was really quite a bit stronger in here today, and that is perhaps a direct cause and effect response to the disappointment with how China was willing to support its market. And also, you know, that also fed through from what we got out of the G20, which was basically nothing. So then the yen strengthened up today by 1.25 yen. And this continues to look like a weak chart pattern for the US dollar. In other words, it's yen strength. And yen strength is just what I've regarded as a barometer for risk, because it's representative of the unwinding of yen carry trades. Well, considering that we just have not seen a really convincing rally by the dollar against the yen, then you know, this is still a risk-off kind of environment. And when you look at the majority of stock markets, they've put in pretty respectable bounces over the last 2 weeks. But now they're back in the region of the first areas of potential resistance. And you know, for the S&P 500, earlier today it was close to 1950, and it closed out the day closer to 1930. So, and that's also where the market had encountered resistance in January. It hasn't quite closed the overextension relative to the trend mean, but it's done most of it. And then, as I wrote on Friday, the easy part of the bounce has already occurred. And there is a short-term overbought condition on both the short-term and the long-term stochastics. And you can see that with the naked eye just as easily. But what it suggests is that we're in for now a period of weakness, and the big question is how well will the lows hold. Well, against that background then, US treasuries and bonds generally were in positive territory. Gilts today were stronger by 0.7 of a point, and that was about the strongest of the major bond futures. Then gold was stronger by $15, and when one looks at the daily chart, then this really is a very orderly consolidation on the chart. And you know, we can expect volatility from the commodities, and you generally speaking, I don't like to pay up, so I haven't initiated a long in gold because I was hoping for a bigger pullback. And the problem is, in a volatile market such as the precious metals, then you could get it. You could still get the mean reversion, and it would still look like a bullish chart. But you'd be on a leveraged position. You'd be opening up yourself to a few tense weeks. On the other hand, silver has pulled right back to the mean and rallied today about 30 cents off its low to finish up on the day about 20 cents. And that's finding support pretty much exactly where it needed to. And for platinum, and although platinum and palladium would be more considered industrial metals, they are finding support, and the platinum bouncing from the region of $900, which, you know, in a benign scenario would be where one would have hoped that would happen. So generally speaking, that's really quite positive. Oil prices today were stronger by over a dollar. And you know, this is something that is very interesting about the oil market, is that sentiment remains very bearish. And you know, people really are worried about what exactly is going to happen to a lot of these oil companies, and particularly the ones that are over leveraged and those that have taken out a lot of debt and are no longer economic at prices where they are right now. And yet the oil prices rallied, and Brent crude bottomed around $27, and it's currently around 36 and three quarters. Well, that's a $9 rally, which is 33%, and off the low, and that's impressive by any stretch of the imagination. And obviously the fact that it is coming off such incredibly depressed levels is certainly worthy of consideration in this kind of environment. But against that background, it's probably also worth looking at natural gas, which right now is at $1.70, and we've had a pretty mild winter. There have been a couple of blizzards, and that helped to support prices back in January, but we're right now back at the lows where it was trading back in December, and $1.70 is not economic for natural gas. So the first whiff of some cold weather is probably going to be the kind of catalyst that can at least unwind the short-term oversold condition. Well, if we take a step back and think about what's it going to look like 4 years from now when we're at February 29th once more, and there's a strong likelihood that oil prices will be ranging, that the low will be pretty close to the lows that we saw back in December, and the high, well, we don't exactly know where that's going to be just yet, but there's a lot of unconventional supply becomes economic at $60. And that's 100% range from bottom to top. Well, stock markets have entered the first big consolidation following a really big breakout. And 4 years from now, we can expect that we'll be much further along in the process of normalizing interest rates. And around 2020, some very big decisions will have been taken by central banks about what to do with the massive amounts of debt that they have taken on, in terms of what to do with it when it expires. And that is a question that has yet to be answered. And it is most definitely going to be answered in the next 4 years, because so much of that debt expires in that time frame. But is there anything, when we look at stock markets, then yes, we're in a medium-term correction right now. But I think it's reasonable to expect that we'll probably be, if not where we are right now, we'll probably be at a place where the prices are quite a bit higher than they are right now, 4 years from now. So then the big question is, will any of that have an effect on the pace of technological innovation? And that's very unlikely. Will that stop the emergence of the global middle class and the positive demographics that a number of countries in Asia and Africa have? That is not going to change anything at all. Time simply doesn't go backwards, and people go from being children to teens into their prime productive years, regardless of what is happening to monetary policy in some of the developed economies. And energy prices having been very high for over a decade, we could be in a decade where energy prices are really quite low. And I'm posting an article today about lithium, and lithium hasn't been a market that many people have been interested in for really quite a while. But with manufacturing capacity for batteries just exploding in terms of the potential production capacity, then there is going to be a call on lithium over the next few years. So next time we're talking on February 29th, 2020, then we can anticipate that we're going to have a lot more batteries in our houses, that utilities are going to have a lot more batteries, and that quite a few more people are going to be driving battery-driven cars. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.